Chapter 163. Agnes, my aunt and I, when we were left alone, talked far into the night. How the emigrants never wrote home, otherwise than cheerfully and hopefully. How Mr. Micawber had actually remitted divers small sums of money, on account of those pecuniary liabilities, in reference to which he had been so businesslike, as between man and man. How Janet, returning into my aunt's service, when she came back to Dover, had finally carried out her renunciation of mankind, by entering into wedlock with a thriving tavern keeper, and how my aunt had finally set her seal on the same great principle, by aiding and abetting the bride, and crowning the marriage ceremony with her presence, were among our topics already more or less familiar to me through the letters I had had. Mr. Dick, as usual, was not forgotten. My aunt informed me how he incessantly occupied himself in copying everything he could lay his hands on, and kept King Charles I at a respectful distance by that semblance of employment. How it was one of the main joys and rewards of her life that he was free and happy, instead of pining in monotonous restraint. And how, as a novel general conclusion, nobody but she could ever fully know what he was. And when, Trot, apostrophe said my aunt, patting the back of my hand, as we sat in our old way before the fire, when are you going over to Canterbury? Apostrophe apostrophe, I shall get a horse, and ride over tomorrow morning, aunt, unless you will go with me? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe said my aunt, in her short abrupt way. I mean to stay where I am. Apostrophe, then, I should ride, I said. I could not have come through Canterbury today without stopping, if I had been coming to anyone but her. She was pleased, but answered, Tut, Trot, my old bones would have kept till tomorrow. Apostrophe apostrophe and softly patted my hand again, as I sat looking thoughtfully at the fire. Thoughtfully, for I could not be here once more, and so near Agnes, without the revival of those regrets with which I had so long been occupied. Softened regrets they might be, teaching me what I had failed to learn when my younger life was all before me, but not the less regrets. Oh, Trot, apostrophe I seemed to hear my aunt say once more, and I understood her better now. Blind, blind, blind. Apostrophe apostrophe, we both kept silence for some minutes. When I raised my eyes, I found that she was steadily observant of me. Perhaps she had followed the current of my mind, for it seemed to me an easy one to track now, willful as it had been once. You will find her father a white-haired old man, apostrophe said my aunt, though a better man in all other respects a reclaimed man. Neither will you find him measuring all human interests, and joys, and sorrows, with his one poor little inch rule now. Trust me, child, such things must shrink very much, before they can be measured off in that way. Apostrophe, indeed they must, apostrophe said one. You will find her, apostrophe pursued my aunt, as good, as beautiful, as earnest, as disinterested, as she has always been. If I knew higher praise, Trot, I would bestow it on her. Apostrophe, there was no higher praise for her, no higher reproach for me. Oh, how had I strayed so far away? If she trains the young girls whom she has about her, to be like herself, apostrophe said my aunt, earnest even to the filling of her eyes with tears, heaven knows, her life will be well employed. Useful and happy, as she said that day. How could she be otherwise than useful and happy? Apostrophe apostrophe, has Agnes any apostrophe? I was thinking aloud, rather than speaking. Well? Hey? Any what? Apostrophe said my aunt, sharply. Any lover, apostrophe said one. A score, apostrophe cried my aunt, with a kind of indignant pride. She might have married 20 times, my dear, since you have been gone. Apostrophe apostrophe, no doubt, apostrophe said one. No doubt. But has she any lover who is worthy of her? Agnes could care for no other. Apostrophe, my aunt sat musing for a little while, with her chin upon her hand. Slowly raising her eyes to mine, she said, I suspect she has an attachment, Trot. Apostrophe, a prosperous one? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. Trot, apostrophe, returned my aunt gravely, I can't say. I have no right to tell you even so much. She has never confided it to me, but I suspect it. Apostrophe, she looked so attentively and anxiously at me, I even saw her tremble, that I felt now, more than ever, that she had followed my late thoughts. I summoned all the resolutions I had made, in all those many days and nights, and all those many conflicts of my heart. If it should be so, apostrophe, I began, and I hope it is apostrophe, I don't know that it is, apostrophe, said my aunt curtly. You must not be ruled by my suspicions. You must keep them secret. They are very slight, perhaps. I have no right to speak. Apostrophe, if it should be so, apostrophe, I repeated, Agnes will tell me at her own good time. A sister to whom I have confided so much, and will not be reluctant to confide in me. Apostrophe, my aunt withdrew her eyes from mine, as slowly as she had turned them upon me, and covered them thoughtfully with her hand. By and by she put her other hand on my shoulder, and so we both sat, looking into the past, without saying another word, until we parted for the night. I rode away, early in the morning, for the scene of my old school days. I cannot say that I was yet quite happy, in the hope that I was gaining a victory over myself, even in the prospect of so soon looking on her face again. The well-remembered ground was soon traversed, and I came into the quiet streets, where every stone was a boy's book to me. I went on foot to the old house, and went away with a heart too full to enter. I returned, and looking, as I passed, through the low window of the turret room where first Uriah Heep, and afterwards Mr. Micawber, had been wont to sit, saw that it was a little parlor now, and that there was no office. Otherwise the staid old house was, as to its cleanliness and order, still just as it had been when I first saw it. I requested the new maid who admitted me, to tell Miss Wickfield, that a gentleman who waited on her from a friend abroad, was there, and I was shown up the grave old staircase, cautioned of the steps I knew so well, into the unchanged drawing room. The books that Agnes and I had read together, were on their shelves, and the desk where I had labored at my lessons, many a night, stood yet at the same old corner of the table. All the little changes, that had crept in, when the Heaps were there, were changed again. Everything was as it used to be, in the happy time. I stood in a window, and looked across the ancient street at the opposite houses, recalling how I had watched them on wet afternoons, when I first came there, and how I had used to speculate about the people who appeared at any of the windows, and had followed them with my eyes up and downstairs, while women went clicking along the pavement in pattens, and the dull rain fell in slanting lines, and poured out of the water spout yonder, and flowed into the road. The feeling with which I used to watch the tramps, as they came into the town on those wet evenings, at dusk, and limped past, with their bundles drooping over their shoulders at the ends of sticks, came freshly back to me, fraught, as then, with the smell of damp earth, and wet leaves and briar, and the sensation of the very airs that blew upon me in my own toilsome journey. The opening of the little door in the paneled wall made me start and turn. Her beautiful serene eyes met mine as she came towards me. She stopped and laid her hand upon her bosom, and I caught her in my arms. Agnes, my dear girl, I have come too suddenly upon you. Apostrophe, no, no. I am so rejoiced to see you, Trotwood. Apostrophe, dear Agnes, the happiness it is to me, to see you once again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I folded her to my heart, and, for a little while, we were both silent. Presently we sat down, side by side, and her angel face was turned upon me with the welcome I had dreamed of, waking and sleeping, for whole years. She was so true, she was so beautiful, she was so good, I owed her so much gratitude, she was so dear to me, that I could find no utterance for what I felt. I tried to bless her, tried to thank her, tried to tell her, as I had often done in letters, what an influence she had upon me, but all my efforts were in vain. My love and joy were dumb. With her own sweet tranquility, she calmed my agitation, led me back to the time of our parting, spoke to me of Emily, whom she had visited, in secret, many times, spoke to me tenderly of Dora's grave. With the unerring instinct of her noble heart, she touched the chords of my memory so softly and harmoniously, that not one jarred within me. I could listen to the sorrowful, distant music, and desire to shrink from nothing it awoke. How could I, when, blended with it all, was her dear self, the better angel of my life? And you, Agnes, apostrophe I said, by and by, tell me of yourself. You have hardly ever told me of your own life, in all this lapse of time. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what should I tell? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she answered, with her radiant smile. Papa is well. You see us here, quiet in our own home, our anxieties set at rest, our home restored to us, and knowing that, dear Trotwood, you know all. Apostrophe, all, Agnes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. She looked at me, with some fluttering wonder in her face. Is there nothing else, sister? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I said. Her color, which had just now faded, returned, and faded again. She smiled, with a quiet sadness, I thought, and shook her head. I had sought to lead her to what my aunt had hinted at, for, sharply painful to me as it must be, to receive that confidence, I was to discipline my heart, and do my duty to her. I saw, however, that she was uneasy, and I let it pass. You have much to do, dear Agnes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with my school? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said she, looking up again, in all her bright composure. Yes. It is laborious, is it not? Apostrophe, the labor is so pleasant, apostrophe, she returned, that it is scarcely grateful in me to call it by that name. Apostrophe, nothing good is difficult to you, apostrophe, said one. Her color came and went once more, as she bent her head, I saw the same sad smile. You will wait and see Papa, apostrophe, said Agnes, cheerfully, and pass the day with us? Perhaps you will sleep in your own room? We always call it yours. Apostrophe, I could not do that, having promised to ride back to my aunt's at night, but I would pass the day there, joyfully. I must be a prisoner for a little while, apostrophe, said Agnes, but here are the old books, Trotwood, and the old music. Apostrophe, even the old flowers are here, apostrophe, said I, looking round, or the old kinds. Apostrophe, I have found a pleasure, apostrophe, returned Agnes, smiling, while you have been absent, in keeping everything as it used to be when we were children. For we were very happy then, I think. Apostrophe, heaven knows we were. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. And every little thing that has reminded me of my brother, apostrophe, said Agnes, with her cordial eyes turned cheerfully upon me, has been a welcome companion. Even this, apostrophe, showing me the basket trifle, full of keys, still hanging at her side, seems to jingle a kind of old tune. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she smiled again, and went out at the door by which she had come. It was for me to guard this sisterly affection with religious care. It was all that I had left myself, and it was a treasure. If I once shook the foundations of the sacred confidence and usage, in virtue of which it was given to me, it was lost, and could never be recovered. I set this steadily before myself. The better I loved her, the more it behoved me never to forget it. I walked through the streets, and, once more seeing my old adversary the butcher, now a constable, with his staff hanging up in the shop, went down to look at the place where I had fought him, and there meditated on Miss Shepherd and the eldest Miss Larkins, and all the idle loves and likings, and dislikings, of that time. Nothing seemed to have survived that time but Agnes, and she, ever a star above me, was brighter and higher. When I returned, Mr. Wickfield had come home, from a garden he had, a couple of miles or so out of town, where he now employed himself almost every day. I found him as my aunt had described him. We sat down to dinner with some half dozen little girls, and he seemed but the shadow of his handsome picture on the wall. The tranquility and peace belonging, of old, to that quiet ground in my memory, pervaded it again. When dinner was done, Mr. Wickfield taking no wine, and I desiring none, we went upstairs, where Agnes and her little charges sang and played, and worked. After tea the children left us, and we three sat together, talking of the bygone days. My part in them, apostrophe said Mr. Wickfield, shaking his white head, has much matter for regret, for deep regret, and deep contrition, Trotwood, you well know. But I would not cancel it, if it were in my power. Apostrophe, I could readily believe that, looking at the face beside him. I should cancel with it, apostrophe he pursued, such patience and devotion, such fidelity, such a child's love, as I must not forget, no, even to forget myself. Apostrophe, I understand you, sir, apostrophe I softly said. I hold it, I have always held it in veneration. Apostrophe, but no one knows, not even you, apostrophe he returned, how much she has. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.